would, we'll turn back to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Peter stood his ground for Christ. Lord, you know. You know what's in my heart. And he didn't back down. Because of what the Lord had done for him. Second phrase. Matthew 6, thy will be done. Holy Father, I also thank you. For a place and for a people whose hearts you are preparing to run after thee. Father, if it were not so, you would not manifest yourself unto us. If there were not here hearts that had been fixed or being fixed, then we'd go on with our religious form and very satisfied within self when we left. But Lord, the children must have nourishment. We must not be as those that dreamed and then when they got up, they were still hungry or they were still thirsty. Neither must we be as those that feed upon the ashes and they find out there wasn't a bite in that that contained any nutrients for my body. I pray, Lord, that you feed, nourish their souls this day. And I pray, Father, that you might continue to keep their minds set upon thee. Their affections on things above. And Lord, for a little while now, that you would just cause us to get lost as to self. And as Mary, sit at thy feet. I don't know what other things that you tried, probably as many as we have. But you came to the recognition within her own self that which is the best for me is to sit right here and hear Him. Other things might have been fair, lovely. And she for a time may have been caught up. But her heart's past all these things now. She's weighed them all. And now she's chosen the good part. That's the very best for her. And she made it her choice. Make it ours. I pray, Father, you'd give us, by the workings of the Spirit, ground, good ground, till, broken up, made ready for the reception of thy word. I pray you keep the fowls away, picking up the seed as it is sown. And help us. For you've given us this hour, and from it we can gain that which we will carry on into and throughout eternity. But Lord, we need Thee. And if the under-shepherd loves you and is commissioned to feed thy sheep, we seek that from above and not from a mortal creature. May you be exalted, Lord Christ, God. And may thy people find a help, a strength, comfort, and encouragement from thee. We've listed the many needs of these here. And now help them through the preaching of thy word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Folk, it will be a few verses to begin with that I have on different occasions, probably several times, shared with you. I don't have them to fill up time, but I hope it's a help. You may know them, you probably do know them, but the old UCLA coach that was such a good basketball coach and had such good teams. He said it's what you know. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. And there's always something to learn. Even when you know it all. Thank the Lord for His infinite being. Well, Jesus said for us, when speaking to our Father, to ask that His will be done. Before you think about that, while we get into hopefully an exposition of that, it is, without question and without doubt, the will of God is being done. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I know many would say, well, that doesn't make any sense, naturally speaking, for us to ask for God to do that which He is and will and can do nothing less than His will. Why in the world, why under heaven do you pray for the will of God, thy will be done, if it is being done? It is, children. Deuteronomy 3. 24. O Lord God, in a minute I want you to read a verse with me from Jeremiah that Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, Ah. The Hebrew is think that the word awe had its origin in it is a painful exclamation. Oh, Lord God. You got to get there, children. When in the presence of God, you just don't know what to say. One of the old writers said you can learn more within just a few minutes of absolute silence before God than you can in years of reading. Moses is there. Oh, that God would bring a creature such as I into His presence. Oh, Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness, hast begun calling handle. You get little glimpses. You get little moments of absolute silence. You get a little space of time when there's nothing there but God. You're beyond thinking about the divine attributes of God as pleasant and as glorious as that might be. You're beyond thinking about the works of God as good and as worshipful as that might help you. But you're above all that. All that's behind you. Underfoot. And you've pressed on in that dark cloud. The cloud overshadowed them as they looked at Jesus transfigured and they feared. And you're in that cloud. There's darkness there. And there's that unknowing. But above the absence of all things, they're just you and the Lord God. Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy power? None, Lord. Not a one. According to thy power. Nebuchadnezzar was put out of his office. And he is crawling around on all fours out there. And he was eating grass like an ox. Night, his body was wet with the dew of heaven. His fingernails and toenails began to grow like those that come out of big birds. Ate grass, hair, fingernails growing, body wet with the dew of heaven till he knew. Daniel 5. That the Most High God ruled. A king in a heathen land. He knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man. And that he, God, appointed over it whomsoever he will. I don't know who will be the next president, but I know this, God will have put him there. You say, well, it's our votes. It might be, but I know there is a power beyond that of human votes. And I know God sets up and I know God sets down. I don't know who will be our senators and our representatives and our governor, but I know God sets them up. There is no power except that which is ordained of God. Children, you and I, we've grown up under democracy and somehow or another that kind of reigns in our own soul. That it is our will. And we, the people. There have been many, many theologians over the past in our generation that have seized upon the love of God, and they projected that on this giant screen, and that's all the American people know. And it is at the expense of all the other attributes of God. Let me tell you something opposite of the love of God. Psalm 7:11, God is angry. But it's just that. No. Word goes far, far beyond your imagination as to what it might mean. You get angry at folks sometimes. That word means to abhor or abominable. God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 5:5, the Lord hateth and these so-called good messengers that come with nothing but a good word from God and want to keep the audience smiling and thinking positive thoughts. They even turn that verse around. It says, thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. And modern translation today is, God hates the iniquity. Then say that, God hates all workers of iniquity. Put that alongside the love of God. Because you don't have pure love in your heart if there's not alongside of it a hatred that goes with it. You love your children. But there's something in you that would bring out anger if there was harm coming their way. Because you can't love them if you don't hate that which would harm the object of your love. Nebuchadnezzar 8 grasps. Moses is almost struck dumbfounded in the presence of God considering his mighty acts and deeds. And Jesus tells us to pray that our Father's will be done. There is no question in my mind but that the will of God is being done. And the atheists, well, they came out, some of them very bold. After 9/11, publicly asked the American evangelist Falwell and some of the others, where was your God? You say he loves? Where was your God when that happened? Where was your God when Katrina swept into New Orleans and this grand work, that great devastation? Where was your God? You say he loves. We projected that in the minds of these atheists. And when disaster strikes, we've come up with an explanation. God loves, but his will isn't always being done. The devil works too. at it, that'd be true. But he is God's devil. He is on God's chain. Pilgrim may look at that entrance there and see those two lines, one on each side where he's got to pass through, and fear may strike his soul, but he finds out the lines are chained. The devil is chained. Would that these men never had stepped behind a pulpit or opened their mouth when they began to excuse all this as the works of the devil, or preach a God that cannot violate the will of human beings. Which God sure wants to, but he's got to get the people in cooperation with him to do that. God didn't violate your will, I know that. God didn't drag you to Christ. The love of God and the Spirit of God worked within you so that you were willing in the day of his power. But to say God came is to make a God that I'll be better off staying at home on Sunday morning than coming down here. And you'd be better off staying at home than coming down here to worship this little being that wants to but can't. Daniel 4, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God, the Almighty Lord God, doeth according to his will. Two places, both in the army that is in heaven and among the inhabitants that are on the earth. There's a singular about that crowd in heaven, but there's a plurality about this crowd on earth. You can't get them united. God just called them inhabitants. But in every last one of them, God is doing his will among the inhabitants of the earth. And Daniel said, none can stay his hand. Acts 2. God is doing his will. There is none that can stay his hand. None. The devil, governments, kings, kingdoms. You're not every American to do, and they can't do, against the will of God. The most wicked, the most despicable, the most self-serving and egotistical crime that has ever been committed. Roll them all up in one. And it won't come up to stand on equal ground with this. Acts 2:23. Him. Acts 2:23. That is the Jesus of Nazareth in verse number 22. That is the man that was approved among you. He did things that nobody else has ever done or ever heard of or thought about. He worked miracles that only God could do. A man approved of God, God. God was not ashamed to be called his Father. And God on different occasions identified him as his well-beloved Son. He was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. And you know what he said. Peter talking to that crowd. You know you crucified one that God approved. But I want you to know this. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. One of those thieves finally got his eyes open and he said to the other one, quit talking. We indeed die justly, or we receive that which is due us, that which is our reward, the reward of our deeds that we have committed. Quit waiting on him. He's different than us. We're dying because we committed crimes worthy of death. We committed crimes against God's creation. And we pay honestly and justly. He didn't. Him being delivered by the determinate. That is the ordained. The determinate, that is to mark out boundaries and to limit. God marked out the boundary before those men ever got there. Matter of fact, before you ever got here, it already was decreed in the eternal counsel and eternal purpose of God. For Jesus was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God already bound him within that boundary, within that limit, by the determinate counsel, by the determinate purpose, and the determinate will of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified. Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse number 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined, that's the same determined as in Acts 2, being delivered by the determinate. That's God's boundary. Of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds. Exactly the same Greek word for determined is the word bounds of their habitation. Sometimes you and I act on the spur of the moment. God helps us as we begin to age somewhat to quit acting quickly and think about it. One of the older fellows at Dayville. He's been here. You've met him. If you ever ask him a question, you might as well get ready to sit down and wait. Because he's going to think. I've never asked him a question in which there wasn't a period of waiting between the question and him beginning to answer it. God's decrees and God's actions lay in the eternal counsel of God before God said, "Let there be." Job 23, "He performeth the thing that is appointed, that is determined." I want you that are in some trying straits in the physical and maybe some of you in the spiritual that I don't know about, I want you to walk out of here today with a little comfort in your soul that God is doing His will. I'll tell you something about the will of God. You are in the best place and the best possible condition that you could be in as far as a child of God. I know your mind's running. And I was talking about 20 years ago in the energy. I know your mind's running. You're thinking, if I just felt a little better, I could do more. If I just didn't have this condition, I could be of more strength. No, no, no. God has brought you where you are because in the determinate, in the appointed thing, this is the best place God can have you. Some days the old man thinks, especially if it's cloudy or rain coming in, that it sure be better off if the sun was shining. But I wouldn't be. Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn Ecclesiastes 3:1 to everything under heaven. There is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything. There is a time to be born. Thank God Almighty, there is in God's determinate counsel a time appointed by God to die. In that little space of time between birth and between death, God's will is being done. Let me jump ahead, maybe into next or the week after, to leave you with this so you won't go out of here. In your heart, you're praying that the will of God be done there as it is in heaven. When you come to the end of the way, God's will have been done. But every day, you're praying that the Lord's will be done right here Now you think about the angels. And you think about the souls of just men and women that have departed and are now in heaven. How freely, how lovingly, how delighted they are just to do the will of God. And that's what you're praying for. It is being done. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And God doesn't act hastily or without wise discretion or infinite, boundless love. Now you remember that, Acts 2:23. Jesus Christ being delivered up by the determinate counsel of God. And Peter goes on in Acts 3. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his Son, Jesus Christ, whom ye have delivered up. Whoa, stop. One place it said, God determined. And in the next message, Peter's saying, you delivered him. Which was it? God delivered in his determinate counsel. But God let some wicked people have freedom that day or those few days. He let some wicked people have freedom to act from their heart. And when God sets a man free to do, wickedness is going to come, but God has the wickedness under control. You think crime's on the rise? Yes. You think ungodliness is encroaching? You think we're living at the very brink of hell in our nation? Yes, it's coming in by television. It's coming in by book. It's coming in by our chat group. It's coming in everywhere. We are on the very brink of hell. But do you think that God is caught by surprise? Number three, heavenly messengers came down. One of them was the Lord to visit Abraham. And the Lord said, I'm coming down. I've heard about Sodom. And I'm coming down to see. And those men went on into Sodom, and Lot finally pressed upon them enough that he got them in their house. And God turned over the reins of wickedness in their hearts to them for a little bit. And God would have manifest to himself that which would show the degree of their sinfulness. And those men begin banging on that door of Lot's house and trying to get that door open because they were going to take those visitors out and sodomize. And the idea was so repulsive that Lot said, don't do that. Don't, here's my two daughters. We can't understand. We can't understand that. How he would set them out there. But he was so appalled at what was fixing to take place. And those men were blinded, and still sin prevailed in their soul. They still tried to break the house down. And their blindness wasn't going to stop them. As it was in the days of Lot. Oh, folk, there's a warning there. Jesus even went farther than that. And he said, you remember Lot's wife. There was something about that city, her home, her furnishings, her friends, that she just had. All she did was look back. She became a pillar of salt. There was no way possible that human beings could have captured, held, delivered up and nailed to the cross. God. No possible way except God for 1 hour. Give them the powers of darkness, turn it over into their hands, and place in their hands the ability and give them the strength to do. Every breath you take, every step you make, every thought you think, God gave you the strength to do it. That's one of the reasons we're praying that the will of God be in our heart as it is in heaven. Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to release you? Or I have power to have you crucified? And Jesus said, no, you're wrong. You are king. God has placed great power in your hands, but you couldn't have any power against me except it were given thee from above. Genesis 18. I spoke to you about Moses in the presence of God. Oh. And I spoke to you about getting above. Things. And getting above. THINKING. The things of God are thought of by us. Now I know, don't quit reading. Don't keep on studying. You will grasp some things in your head, and down the road, God will show you what they meant. You'll have an inkling right now, but it is built on it. Absolute silence. Genesis 18. This is what I was talking to you about. The Lord appeared. Verse number 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Through everything there is a season. God performeth the thing that is appointed unto me, Job said. And according to the time that it takes for a fetus to develop and mature enough for you to deliver so that it can survive according to that time of life, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah lied within herself. I told you, this is the Lord talking. I told you, this is Almighty God. Nobody heard a chuckle. Nobody saw a little silly grin on her face of the impossibility of that. She was behind the tent. Nobody heard a word. Now listen to verse number 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah lie? You think God's not knowledgeable of the very expressions of our heart? Or why'd she lie? Why'd she say, shall I of a surety bear a child? They couldn't anybody have known that except God revealing her heart to her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we say, no, Lord, impossibilities are out of the realm of our mind when considering. And we pray, expecting and fully knowing that God is capable of helping each other in their difficult straits. At the time appointed, God appointed the time. God appointed the bounds of your habitation on earth. God determined it in eternity. And God determined the time appointed when Isaac would be born, though both parents were past childbearing age. He was the son of promise. He was the son of faith. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. One last, Jeremiah 32, I told you about this. And I'll close here. I think with a little more than an introduction. Maybe a little more than that. Jeremiah 32, verse 2. For the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. They've encamped about it. Nobody's going out. Nobody can get in. And that army is waiting them out. We'll starve them to death. They besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of prison. The king heard all that he'd want to hear from him. God's going to destroy the city. God's against Jerusalem. God's against the people of Israel. Most of them wanted him killed for telling what God told him to say. So he shut up in prison. Now in verse number 6 and following, God speaks to him. And he said, your uncle's coming down here to visit you in the prison. And he's going to ask of you to buy a field. Probably needs the money. Probably not a large piece of ground. Jeremiah didn't have much money. So he came to him, verse number 8, in the court of the prison. He said, I want you to buy that. You mean I buy a piece of ground? And the Chaldeans and Babylon are going to come in here, and they're going to take everything Israel's got. And they're going on our property. And they're going on our herds. You sure, Lord, this is what you want me to do? And the Lord said, yeah, buy it. Verse number 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. And when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase to Barak, he got rid of the deed. He put everything aside. And he moved past all this. Did what God said. Got all things out of his mind, temple things. And now listen, verse number 16, last phrase. When I'd done this, I prayed unto the Lord, saying. Now here it is, children. Oh, a painful exclamation of one in the presence of God that does everything according to his will. A painful experience that, knowing that I am a sinner, I can come into his presence. Knowing that I've 3 times denied Christ, yet by exclamation, I can stand toe to toe and face to face, looking the Lord Jesus in the eyes and telling him, I love you. And lastly, Lord, you know all things. Oh, Lord God. Exclamation point. They would have us stop there because Jeremiah was shut up. He stopped. And then when he is enabled by the Spirit of God to proceed with language, he says, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And if you just wait long enough, you'll hear that echo come back from your father. Verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, oh, that's verse number 17, behold, I am the Lord. the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he goes on and he tells them, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon's going to take this. The Chaldeans are going to fight against this city. They're going to take everything y'all own. But I'm going to gather my people out of all countries. And in great wrath against those that have acted this way towards them, against me bringing that upon them for their rebellion and disobedience, I'm going to bring them again into this place. I want you to get a deed. I want you to buy it. I want you to send it off where it needs to be, down to the court where they are recorded. Because I want Israel to know, though they have sinned and brought this, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And the king couldn't sleep one night because of his carelessness. He had assigned a man that he had great respect for to a lion's den. He didn't eat that night. He didn't let any musicians come in and play soothing music for him to go rest. But he paced the floor that night, fasting, prayer. As soon as it was light enough, he ran down to the den of lions and he cried. There's another one of those painful exclamations of a man's heart. I might be the cause of the one good man that I knew in all my empire. I might be the cause of his death. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Probably afraid he wasn't going to hear anything. And he's got to live with that the rest of his life. He said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, whom thou hast served continually all the days of thy life, is he able to deliver?" And there was this voice that came back from the lion's den, "O king, he's able." And the very lions that God has made that would tear man to pieces, he let me use one of them as a pillow. While it laid down around me. Really, it was a warm place last night in that den. He's able. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're headed. But I know this, my and your God is able, for there is nothing too hard for him. Absolutely nothing. Just keep on keeping on. And you will learn and know this great God. Telling you.